Why don't we pray together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We sing words like that, we are reminded and we feel in our heart how good you are, how much you love us. Thank you for your grace and your love, that you look down on your children and you are happy with us. You approve of us, that we are complete and whole in your sight. And all of that is because of Jesus. None of that is because of us. He was perfect because we are not. And you accept us because of him. And we thank you, God. In his name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As if you weren't going to sit down anyway, right? It is good to be here this morning. This bothered me in the first service. There we go. Kept running into it. So, I want to talk about something that I don't think any of us like. It's people telling us what to do. I don't know about you, but I can kind of guess if you're a normal person or even abnormal. Nobody likes to be told what to do. We don't like other people to tell us what to do. We don't like our parents to tell us what to do. You know, the whole rebellion, you're not the boss of me. Like, actually, I am, but... talk about that some other time. We don't like our parents to tell us what to do. We don't like our kids. Now that I have kids and my kids have the audacity to try to tell me what to do. They're like, no, I could like pin both of you guys at the same time. And no, I'm your dad. You don't get to tell me what to do. We don't like people to tell us what to do. We don't like our bosses to tell us what to do, but they're paying us. So we kind of have to smile and act like we're okay with them telling us what to do because, you know, but we don't like it on the inside. We're like, if you had to do my job, you'd be singing a different tune. We don't like our spouses to tell us what to do. You know, hey, you're my wife, but you don't tell me what to do. No man is going to tell me what to do. We don't like anyone to tell us what to do. We don't like police officers. You know, it's like, why are you stopping? Don't you have better things to do than to tell me how fast I can go? I obviously am in control of this car. You had to stop me. I was going quite well without you. Where it's ridiculous, at least for me, is when I'm in like an office, you know, doctor's office or whatever, and the receptionist says, you can be seated and wait. And I think to myself, I'll be seated if I want to be seated. Tell me to be seated, and then I decide I want to be seated, so I am seated and wait. We don't like people to tell us what to do. People tell us what to do, and something inside of us kind of rises up, and it's like, oh, you tell me what to do, you become the man. You're keeping me down. You're the oppressor. And something in us wants to rebel against that. Sometimes we don't do things, but that's not good. We don't do things, but it's true. We don't do things that we would even want to do only because someone told us we had to do it. Have you ever done that? Not done something that you wanted to do, but someone told you to do it. So now I'm not going to do that because we don't like people to tell us what to do. And at the end of the day, we end up deciding what we're going to do ourselves, no matter who tells us, no matter how much authority they have or don't have over us, no matter how good their suggestion is. We think about it. We analyze it. We make our own decision, and we do things when we want to, and we do what we want to do because we like to tell ourselves what to do, and we really don't like other people telling us what to do, which is why it's hard for us to follow Jesus because an integral part, maybe the integral part of following Jesus is the fact that he is Lord. He is our boss. He gets to, by definition, tell us what to do. Jesus, following Jesus, is all about him telling us what to do and us doing what he tells us to do, which we don't like anyone to tell us what to do. He tells us to do things. He tells us initially, if you're going to follow me, then make a decision. Surrender yourself to me. Accept me as your Savior and your Lord by repenting, by being baptized. Make a one moment in, one moment out decision. He tells us to do things. He tells us to confront other people sometimes. Don't like to do that. He tells us to sometimes, as we've been talking about in this series, Jim has been talking about in this series. He asks us to guide other people, to disciple other people, to take people by the hand and help them follow Jesus better. He tells us to to start things, whether it's, you know, a ministry or a project or something with the church or something in your home. He tells us to do things. He tells us to ask for forgiveness, which I hate doing. He tells us to ask people if they would study the Bible with us, which personally I'm always scared to do. He asks us to leave things, to stop doing things, to stop doing things that he says that's sinful, that's rebellious against my Father, but I like it, but stop it. He tells us to leave behind things that may not be sinful, but they might be a distraction in my life right now. And so he says, just walk away from that. He tells us to do things and not do things. Jesus tells us what to do. And because we don't like people to tell us what to do, when he tells us what to do, we tend to resist him. We tend to put our arms out and say, okay, you're going to tell me what to do. You're Jesus. I'm following. I know you're God, but we resist him. And we resist him sometimes because he's God. He's not, you know, our parents or our spouse or a child or somebody at work, or he's not somebody that we can maybe actively, openly resist, but we resist him very subtly, very, very in religious coding. We make him wait. We're saying, I think God is leading me to do this. I'm just not sure it's the right time, which normally is code for, I don't want to do it. And God loves me and is patient with me, and so maybe later I'll want to do it. We say when we think God is telling us to do something, we say, well, I'm going to pray about it, which we should always be praying, and we should pray when God tells us to do things. But most of the time when God tells us to do something and we say, I need to pray about it, that's code for, I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm going to hope that the voice gets more and more dim and I forget about it before I actually have to do it. We resist Jesus when he tells us to do things. We start, here's my favorite. He tells me to do something and I don't want to do that, but I say, let me do this and this and this and this. These other things that I know he would want me to do, but it's not what he's asking me to do in that moment. We tell him, like Moses in the Old Testament, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I don't have the skills and the gifts to do what you might be asking me to do. And who are we to tell Jesus, just like Moses, I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that. He probably knows that better than we do, but we tell him that. Sometimes we just come out and tell him no. Sometimes we're more subtle. Sometimes we play the game of, I'm not sure if that's really God telling me to do that. I feel the nudge that I should do that. The opportunity is there. I have the gifting. The person is there. There's this. I could do that, but I'm not sure that's God who, I mean, it might be, but how do I know? In the Bible, it was so obvious. There was like a voice and an angel, but I'm not sure. Maybe that was just an idea that I had. Maybe I just had too much pizza last night and my stomach is messing in my head. And it's just, and then we, you know, if we really wanted to know if it was God telling us, we could put it through the God, me, Satan filter. You know, this idea, this thing, this idea that popped in my mind that I'm now thinking about that I could or should maybe do. Is it God? Is it not? Well, is that something Satan would tell me to do? Many times, no, it's not. Is that something that I would naturally want to do? Would I want to serve that person or ask this person to study the Bible or help this person or give? You know, this happens to me all the time when I like have an idea. It's like I could help this person. I could give them something or money or some help. That it's like, well, I don't know if that's God telling me to do that. But if you think about it, Satan's not telling me to do that. And my own selfish nature, I know. I mean, you probably have a much better opinion of me than you should. But I know me. No way in the world did that occur to me naturally because of me. I don't like to give other people my stuff and my money. So it's not Satan, it's not me, then who does that leave? Probably God, right? So we resist God, and when we do, when he tells us to do things and we resist him, we lose so much. We lose the life of purpose that he has for us. We miss out on him using us to help other people know Jesus. We miss out on God doing ever increasingly greater things through us. We miss out on us being more like Jesus. We miss out on having a closer and closer relationship with God. And all of a sudden we realize, we wake up and we say, I'm just kind of in the same place where I've been for a long time. Nothing's changed. If anything's changed, I just don't feel like I did before. I don't feel more. I feel less. This isn't working for me the way it was before. What's wrong with this whole God thing? It's not, I don't feel it. I felt it once. Why? Well, because God has been asking us to do things and we've been saying, not right now, not yet, not sure if this is from you. And we've stayed in the same place and we miss out on what it really means to follow Jesus, which is growing closer and closer to God and being used by him and becoming more and more like Christ. And this is especially true for y'all right now. It's true for us all the time. But right now, you're in the middle of a series. And in this series, you've looked at some things that Jesus has said about what it means to follow him. And they've been pretty hard things, things that you're like, is that for everybody? Maybe that's just for the ones that we pay to do the church stuff. Maybe that's just for, the really super Christians. Or maybe that's for, somebody else with more experience. And if you haven't thought that yet in the last couple of weeks, what's coming, it makes the stuff in the last 2 weeks look really easy, because what's coming are ever increasing harder teachings from Jesus. Things that you're going to want to say, I'm not sure that's really what it means. I'm not sure that's really, if it is, what it means for me. I'm not sure that I have to do that. And our tendency to push back against anyone telling us what to do is really going to be tested over the next several weeks of messages that Jim is going to bring to us. So how should we respond to God when he tells us what to do? Well, you know the answer, right? But just sit with me for a little bit. Not that you have much of a choice, although you could leave, so I guess you do. Not to put that out there. So how should we respond to God when he tells us what to do? What should we do? Because he'll tell us what to do, and we're going to resist him, so what should we do? And the big idea for today is that the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We should have a default. If we're followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, or if you're thinking about becoming a follower of Jesus, we should have a default yes programmed into our minds. The answer should always be yes. We should decide beforehand, before God asks us to do anything, before we know what he's going to ask us to do this afternoon or this week or this month or this year or for the rest of our lives, we should say, because you don't know, I don't know, we don't know what he's going to ask us to do in the future. We should have a pre-programmed yes. Whatever he asked me to do, the answer is yes. That's my answer. That'll be my answer. That's the answer that you and I, if you became a Christian, if you decided to follow Jesus, if you repented and were baptized and gave yourself to him, that is the decision that we were making in that moment. We were saying, yes, whatever you ask me to do in the future, whatever you tell me, I don't know what you're going to ask me to do, but whatever it is, the answer will be yes. You are my Lord, my boss, my master. And maybe today is just a reminder for us that, hey, I've already told Jesus yes to whatever he asks of me. The answer is and will be and should be yes. When God asks me to, when God speaks and tells me to do something, I will say yes. And we know that he will do great things through us when we do that. So why don't we read a little bit? There is a story in the Bible. It's actually a two-part story. And it's a story of two people who God talked to. And then they heard God, and they said yes to him, and we see how they responded to God and what they did. And I think what we'll see in this story is, well, one, we'll learn, this was written for our example, we'll learn how we should respond to God when he tells us what to do. And I think God will use this to inspire us to think, okay, if that was the way it was for them when they said yes, what could it be like for me when I say yes, when my answer is always yes to whatever God asks me to do? The story starts in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And if you're looking at that going, it's not Christmas yet, I know, but now when we get to this at Christmas here, it's like, well, I've already seen that. I know how that story goes. Okay, Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So God talks to Mary, and we read what the angel said to her, but you know what she heard? I'm guessing. That's a little bit of conjecture, but just go with me on this. Think it through. What did she hear? Your life is over. Your life is ruined. You're engaged to this good guy, and now you're going to be pregnant, not by him, not married, and in their day and in their time especially, her life was over. He was going to not marry her. He was going to put her aside, and he was going to shame her in the process, and then no one in their time would marry her. And then she would be raising this child who she didn't ask for by herself. And good luck with that, because economically speaking, surviving would have been a long shot until he was old enough to start working. And for them to get to that point, well, very likely not going to happen. Her life was over. Her life was ruined. God came and talked to her and said, your life is, it's done. And then the story continues. Go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, they came together. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So then Joseph is visited in a dream by an angel of the Lord. God talks to Joseph, and what does he tell him? A little paraphrasing. You know how your fiance's status changed from, you noticed on, you know, you're looking at her Facebook, she changed from engaged, happily engaged, to pregnant. And you were like, wow, that's odd. I wonder if she fat fingered that. That was weird. And you know how she's pregnant now? And that actually is from God. And see, Joseph was a good man. Instead of shaming her and ending her life completely, he had decided, I think he had decided to take a little bit of the hit for this and say, okay, I'm not going to marry her, and she's going to have a child, and everyone's going to know we were engaged, and I didn't marry her, and so they're going to guess that was my child, and then I didn't marry her, and he was going to suffer shame. He was also being told, he was also knowing his life was kind of ended, his status in the community, his being a good person, a just person was over, and he was kind of contributing to that by not shaming her further. And God comes to him and says, actually, different plan. You're not going to put her away. You're not going to not marry her. You're actually going to marry her, and you're going to raise this child that isn't yours, because this child was from God, God's child. It's never happened before, but it happened this time. And you know when, and now again, putting my words in it, you know that because we just read it. You know when the dates aren't going to line up, and everybody in the community is going to talk, and then he's not going to look like you, and so they're going to talk more. And for the rest of your life, you know, every time you walk through town, people are going to talk about you as you walk by, and you're going to lose your reputation and your prestige and being looked up to, and your hopes of being any kind of pillar of the community, and you're going to be that guy. And in their time, being that guy, that wasn't That meant most of your respectable life was over. And what did Joseph and what did Mary say when they were both told by God, your life is going to be completely different. You will know why. You understand my plan. No one else is going to believe you if you told them why. So this is kind of, you know, you're going to have to take it in faith. Your lives are over. Your lives are going to be changed. Here's what I want you to do. And Mary said what? Okay. She said, yes. And what did Joseph say? Well, it didn't say what he says. He woke up and he did it. He did yes. She said yes, he did a yes. They said yes to God. They did what God told them to do. They said yes to God when he talked. They listened and they obeyed. And then look at what happened because of that. Through their obedience, God brought his Savior into the world. Not because of their obedience, but he worked through what they had done. Right? He worked greatly through their lives in such a way that they never would have imagined before that moment. And even in that moment, they weren't imagining how it was going to end out. And God worked through them because they said yes to him. So what should we do when God talks to us and tells us what to do? And our reaction is to resist and say, not right now. Let me pray about it. Let me think about it. I'm not sure. Given that example, we should do what they did. We should imitate them. And whatever God tells us to do, we should say yes to. We should, when God talks to us and you say, okay, this God talking to us, never had a vision of an angel. If I did, might have had too much food the night before or something, but it wasn't a real angel. I've never seen an angel. God's never like talked to me audible voice. How does God talk to us? When we read this book, it's God's powerful living word. He speaks to us. You know how it is when you're reading and something hits you and you're like, and it reminds you of something in your life and you're like, oh, I should do that. I should stop doing that. I should talk to this person. I should share this verse with that. And you think of something to do or to, it's an action you should take as you're reading. That's a living, powerful word of God. God speaking to you through his word. God's spirit nudges us internally. You'll be out doing something and something will pop into your mind and you'll think, I have the gift or I have the ability. I could do this. I have the opportunity, the situation. And you know, that's something I think God wants me to do. And then we immediately start doubting that because we're not sure we want to, but we know that's God nudging me. That's the Holy Spirit prompting me. Sometimes it's through other Christians. Another Christian will tell me something and I just know a lot of times it's my wife. She'll, cause she knows me and she sees, you know, what I'm really like. And she'll say, you know, that's idolatry, isn't it? Do you really need another guitar or whatever? That just happened to be a real life example. And I know inside that's the voice of God saying, stop cruising through musician's friend for a while and you don't need to fantasize about a new guitar. Be happy with what you have. I know that's God. And I want to resist and push back and say, well, it's not idolatry. I'm going to play the guitar in church and I love Jesus, obviously. Okay, very, very specific example. But the point is, other Christians, God uses other Christians to say, this is what I want you to do, what I want you to not do, to speak into our lives. He uses situations and opportunities. There's people around us. There's not a coincidence. There's certain people in our lives that we see on a regular basis all the time. And we have those ideas. I should talk to, I should do this. I should. God tells us what we should do through a variety of ways. Primarily his word and his spirit and other Christians and situations in life. And he asks us to do things. And sometimes he asks us to do things that are difficult. And it doesn't really matter if it's big or small. You know how it is when God asks you to do something, even if, you know, like some, you know, someone else would look at that and be like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. Just do it. For us, it's always a big deal in the moment because God is asking us to do it. And there's something in us that just pushes back against it. And even if it's a tiny little thing, we're like, not sure I want to. We should be like Joseph and like Mary. And instead of resisting, we should say, no matter what happens, no matter what God asks me to do, no matter how big or small, no matter how much I foresee my life changing in a negative way because of this, the answer will be yes. That should be our default answer. Anytime God asks us anything, I've already decided it's yes. And you think about that, and I don't know about you, but something in me says that's dangerous because I never give anybody just like a blank check. Anything you ask me, the answer will be yes. I mean, could you imagine telling anyone that? Your spouse, your children, your boss, anybody. If you say that to a friend, you know, you don't really mean it, because the answer was not always. You're going to analyze and think about whatever they ask you and decide what you're going to do. And telling that to anyone is dangerous, because that means they can ask you anything. Telling it to God is really dangerous, because he will ask you for more and more and more and more. Not more than what Jesus gave, but Jesus gave everything. So yes, he will ask us for more and more and more. And giving God that blank check is dangerous, but it is also something that we can do, because God is our Father and he loves us. And he wants to bring us to himself. He wants to give us purpose in life. But he wants to satisfy us. He wants to make us happy in him. So when he tells me what to do, if I know that he's my Father and he loves me, he has my best eternal interest in mind. And so it's not as dangerous as it might seem to say, whatever you ask, the answer will be yes. And when we say yes, God does great things through us and through our lives. The more that God asks us to do and to be and to stop doing and to change, and the more that God pushes on us, the more that he uses us. And the more that we say yes to him, the more that we're able to see. Isn't that the verse in Ephesians where it says, that now to him who is able to do abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine? How does he do that? He does it by asking us to do things, to take steps. And we say, I don't see where this is going. Right, because you couldn't even ask or imagine what God is going to do with you in your life. But he knows what he wants to do, the same way he did with Joseph and Mary, and he will take you there. But it requires us saying yes to him every time he asks us something. So, application, what should we do? What should we do? Again, pretty obvious. You probably could have written this application from the very beginning of the message, but again, go with me on it. We should decide that we'll tell God yes. We should decide that our answer will always be yes. We should decide to say yes to God, and that means two things. It means something general and it means something specific. So first, a general one. We should decide that our answer will always be yes. We should just have a blanket answer, a default answer in our minds that whatever God asks us to do, the answer will be yes. And if you aren't a Christian yet, if you're still thinking, am I going to give myself to God or not, and I'm not sure, and I'm not, that is the definition of what you are considering when you're thinking, am I going to surrender to Jesus or not? He will save you, but as you surrender to him, you are deciding, whatever he asks from this point on in my life, the answer will be yes. Will you do that perfectly? No, no, you won't. But the answer will always be yes. And if you already are a Christian, remember, when you jumped in the hot tub, when you repented and were baptized, listen, that's what you were telling Jesus to the best of your ability in that moment. The answer will be yes. And so maybe this morning for you, it's just a reminder, and he's pushing on you again to say, remember, you decided that. I want your answer to be yes. I want you to decide once again to put in your mind, whatever I ask you from this point forward, remember, what's the answer going to be? The answer is going to be yes. Okay, just remember that, because I'm going to ask you to do things. I'm going to talk to you. So that's the general application. The specific application, I don't know what it is for you, but here's the question that hopefully God through his Spirit will bring it out in your heart, in my heart. What has God been asking of you that you still haven't done? What has God been pushing on you to do, to change? What has God been pushing on you in your life to do that you haven't done yet? Maybe as soon as we started talking this morning, that popped in your mind again. It's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, saying, here is how I want to guide you into all righteousness. What has God been pushing on you to do? And maybe for you today, that is, you've known I need to decide to follow Jesus. I've been around the edges. I've been thinking about it for a long time. I need to repent and be baptized. And you know that's what God wants you to do. And I would say, what are you waiting for? Today, if that's you and God's been pushing on you to do that, when we're done, why don't you just tell someone, I'm ready. You can repent. You can be baptized. There's water. Maybe for you, you've made that decision. There's something else in your life, someone you're supposed to talk to, something you're supposed to leave behind, something you're supposed to change, something you're supposed to start doing, spending more time in the Word, fasting, praying, starting a Bible study. I don't know. Maybe starting to disciple someone and spend time with them on a regular basis. What has God been telling you to do that you've been kind of resisting? And see, if the answer is yes anyway, then shouldn't we just say yes to that? And whatever it means, and maybe for you it's going home and making a phone call, or this week putting some time in your schedule, or unplugging your computer, whatever it takes, why don't we do that this week? And why don't we make our big, broad, general yes to everything be a very specific yes to that one thing that he's asking of us right now? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. We thank you because you're gracious enough to speak to us and to guide us. You don't have to do that, but you do. That's your love and your grace. God, we thank you for Jesus and the cross. Because as we think this morning about saying yes to anything you ask of us, we immediately think of all the times that we say no. And God, for those of us who are in Christ, please remind us this morning that there is no condemnation, no matter how poorly we obey you. And how much we say no, you love us. And in Christ, we are your perfection. Because he said yes. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray.